Good morning. It is good to see everybody here. Good to see your beautiful faces. Used to have a preacher one time, he'd say, look at your neighbor and tell them how good looking they are this morning. If you have your Bibles, I want to say something real quick. I loved opening the service this morning with the pledge to the flag, the pledge to the Christian flag and the Bible. Yesterday morning, I ran a 5K race over in Carrier Mills. First time I've ever experienced this. Young lady from Harrisburg named Taylor Price. She came over and sang the national anthem. And all the runners turned around at the start line, and those of us that had a ball cap on or whatever, we put it over our heart, and there was a big flag on a utility pole right across the street. And as that young lady sang the national anthem, I tell you what, you talk about your chest swelling with pride to be an American, but most important, to be a Christian and to live in this country. You know, I think we take it for granted what we have here. Sometimes we take it for granted that we have church to go to. Sometimes, you know, we don't ever want to get out of bed or go to church because, well, maybe the church doesn't have what we want it to have. But that's not what it's about. Everything that we do, it's about the Lord. And so, as I've thought about this message, I thought, man, this is everything that's been going on. Today's message is freedom from bondage. And really, we are seeing a lot of people today who are bound by different things in their life. So if you would, turn with me to the book of John, chapter 8. Now, I had just verse 36, but let's do verses 31 through 36. I've read that some more the last few days, and it really ties all this in together. And those that are able, please stand as I read from God's Word. John 8, 31 through 36. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed Him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? Jesus answered them, most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin, and a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, today, we thank you for the reading of this word. And God, make everybody in this church house realize that if they are a child of God, they are not in bondage. Jesus died and set us free. And so, Father, as we look into this word this morning, Father, let every word I preach come from you through your Holy Spirit. But we want to thank you for your word, and we pray that your word will be hidden in our hearts, that we will not sin against you, but God, that your word will change who we are, that your word will propel us to go forward, to be mightier and bolder than we've ever been before. And it's in the precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now I'm going to open this up with a simple phrase, but powerful phrase, that Jesus Christ is the only one who can truly set people free from the bondage of sin. Jesus is the only authority. He is the only one that can set you free. And as we read, the key verse I want you to know, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. In today's world, everybody is bound by something. Some are enslaved by their sin, some by their guilt, some by their fears, some by their addictions, their jealousies, their bitterness, their unforgiveness, their shame, their judgmental attitude. Whatever it might be, somebody is enslaved by something. But the good news of the gospel is that Jesus came to break every chain and give true freedom. He paid the price on Calvary's cross. He rose from the dead. Once you received Him as your Lord and Savior, you're free. But I hear people who go around and they're still dragging their load. They're still weighted down by the heaviness of life as they've never met Jesus Christ before. And that is the reality of bondages. Sin is a cruel master. Now here's how bondages start. They start with a small compromise. Oh, I can tell the little white lie. I can tell the dirty joke at work. Nobody from church will hear it. People here don't know that I'm a Christian anyway. I wouldn't dare tell them that I went to church. Oh, I could spread that rumor, or I could gossip, or I could be unforgiving. It's the small little things that you and I do that we think nobody else is going to discover or see. That is what begins as bondage. It starts off a small, what we think is a harmless deed, but it actually holds very bad consequences down the road. Now, I know it's only a movie, and I know it's not Christmas time, but if you ever have watched Christmas Carol or Scrooge, whatever you want to call it, you know in the movie that Jacob Marley comes along at the first part to visit Ebenezer Scrooge? And do you know what he's carrying with him? He's carrying a long chain. And you know what he says to Ebenezer? This is the chain that I forged in life. Basically, he was saying, these are all of the bad things that I have done. And it all started with sin. Now we know that's a fictional movie, but the sad part is there are people who are dragging around a long chain that is attached to their life. And you know where it's attached to? Right here. It's attached here, and then a lot of times it's affecting the heart. Now, it starts out a little sin, and I think I told you about this before, but we had done, back when I was in the youth group in church, I wasn't a Christian then, thought I was, but anyway, in the youth group, we put a box, or a big wash tub sometimes, and on the front of it, we had the word sin wrote on there. And a guy comes walking along. Here, I'll just kind of act it out for you. How's that? I've never acted for you, so I'm just going to act it out. So we're going to act like here's a box. We're going to pretend there's a box up here. It says sin on the front. Guy walks up and says, sin. Well, that looks pretty inviting. That's awful tempting right there. Huh. Let me just take a closer look at it. You know, it looks pretty doggone good, actually. You know, it actually smells pretty good, too. Hold on a minute. Let me kind of dip my finger. Oh, wow. Man, that feels really good. Maybe a little bit more. Get me a handful and... Oh, boy. Wow. Man, this makes me feel 10 foot tall and bulletproof. I get a little bit more and rub it on me. Well, you know what? Let me just get into that box and I'm just going to get all into it. And you know what? I'm not liking this very well. I don't feel so good all of a sudden about myself. I'm not enjoying this at all. It's not what I thought it was going to be. I had this thought in my mind, and well, now that I've got here, I don't like it, and I think I'll just get out now. Wait a minute. I can't move. I'm trapped. What have I done? What have I done? I don't know how to get out of this. And then all of a sudden, well, in our play, we had a guy. I should have had Billy do this because he's got the long beard. But we had a guy with a white robe on playing the part of Jesus. He didn't say a word. He just came down the aisle. And all he did was he took him, stuck his hand out. And that person that was in sin, all they had to do was reach out and grab his hand. And when he grabbed his hand, he stepped out of the sin. And he says, I don't want anything to do with that anymore. It wasn't what I thought it was going to be. It's not the party that I thought it was going to be for forever. See, people get this sick thoughts in their mind. I can go to church on Sunday and I can be holy and I can look good in front of my church family. But man, when I go to work, when I go to wherever, if I'm at the grocery store, I can live like the devil. See, and that's what people do. They buddy up with Satan. Some of them right after they get out of church. Some people have never even let Satan go when they've walked into church on Sunday. And they have let sin get attached to their life. And they've let it accumulate. They've let it grow. It's like a sickening weed. And you know how a weed is. If you don't get the weeds out of your garden, it's going to grow and it's going to get around everything that's good and choke it out. How many of you ever watched a garden or something die from the weeds? It's not a pretty sight. You've done all that hard work and then you just let something choke it out. And that's what happens in life today. It starts with sin. Even the small, what we think is, but sin is great. Sin is deadly, it's destructive, and judgment awaits every single person who lives in it. Nobody can free themselves through good works or religion. And there are religions today that teach you, oh, God's grace, He'll let you get by with it. No, He won't. You can't take God's grace and abuse it in that way. You can't sin willingly and then expect God to be okay with it. It just doesn't work that way. Jesus says that if we love Him, we'll abide in Him and we'll turn away from sin. We'll turn away from the devil. We'll turn away from the things and the ways of this world. But we have to recognize the chains that are keeping us from following Christ. Now, I want to tell you this. The Christian people that are dragging a chain with them through life, they need to stop and realize, hey, this chain doesn't belong attached to me. I need to cut this thing off and I need to remove it from my life so that I can walk forward in truth and in victory in my relationship with Jesus Christ. And you know how sometimes those bondages get there? It all starts right here. I know because I've been pretty good at doing that a lot of my life. The Redeemer who brings freedom. Jesus came to deliver the captives. That is why he died on the cross. He knew that you and I were in a place and we could not save ourselves. He knew there was no way out. Jesus knew that our future would be in the lake of fire if something wasn't done for us. And so Jesus left the comforts of heaven and came and lived on this earth, and he became sin for you and I. He took our punishment. He took our judgment. He took our heaviness. And I want you to know this too. When he died on the cross, he died so that every bondage in your life could be broken off. If we are still dragging a chain around, it is our own fault. It is because we have let the enemy lie to us. We have let the devil work inside of us, deceiving us and making us believe that somehow we have never received the mercy and the grace that God showed us through his son Jesus on the cross. I'll tell you something, and I'll have to share this. I believe maybe it will speak to somebody's heart. I told you what kind of people my mom and dad were growing up with them. Now, people out in the community, oh man, your mom and dad was great. They was the greatest people. Well, but I want to say this. They both professed at one time in their life to know Jesus Christ, but yet they carried these chains, they carried these bondages through their life. And here's what I saw. I saw two people who decided they wanted to be miserable every single moment and day of their life. They never left their house. They were never thankful. They were never happy about anything. But I'm telling you, 24/7. Now, there were times that I would hear mom sing a gospel music, and then I would see mom living another whole way. And I didn't quite understand that. But the reality is, it wasn't just in my folks' home. It's happening in homes everywhere today. And I want you to know this morning. Jesus took your sin, and when he died and rose from the dead, it broke that sinful power off of your life. It broke it. It set you free. It delivered you. So the moment that you got saved, you should have handed the devil his divorce papers, and you should have discontinued your relationship with Satan, and you should have turned away from him and walked the other direction. You and me, we should keep our eyes on the Lord. But when we get distracted, we get our thoughts, we get our attitudes in other places, and then that's what we tend to live by. And the Lord is saying the whole time, that is not the life I intended for you to have. Yes, we're going to go through difficulties. We're going to have hard times. But Christ made the way that we could have freedom. Now, I'll share this too. Every time I walk in a hospital room of a loving, good Christian person, I'm telling you what, the circumstances most of them have been through, and I've walked in and I've seen a smile on their face, and they're telling me how good God is. That's what I heard this morning. In the hospital room. I heard this morning how good God is despite the circumstances. How many of us could say that this morning? But the devil wants you to believe his lie. The devil is selling you a product that doesn't work. And that's how he keeps you and I in bondage. See, the devil's, He's good with his trickery. He's good at twisting God's word. He did it with Eve in the Garden of Eden. Well, now, surely God didn't say you couldn't eat of that fruit on that tree because, well, it won't harm you. It's all right. Just go ahead and do it. And you know what that opened up the door for? Doubt. And double-mindedness. And all of a sudden, Eve is hit with this feeling like, well, she started to internalize what she was experiencing. And Eve says, well, okay, I'll take what you're saying, devil, and I'll put it to the test. That is where we need to be careful. There's a warning. There's a red light. There's a caution sign that I think the Holy Spirit should be flashing at every single one of us. Stay away from this dangerous area. We went to Branson in 2015. And, well, you know, when you go to a vacation spot, you know what you're going to have? You're going to have people there who are set up with their merchandise, and they're going to try to sell you their product. And we were going to the IMAX theater to get our tickets to watch this big, cool IMAX movie. I'd never been to something that spectacular. But anyway, we went up and got our tickets, and the show didn't start for a few hours. And walking back by, there was a guy set up there with this table, and he had bottles on that table, and he started talking to us. He said, folks, have you ever seen something like this? He said, this is a miracle for your glasses. He said, for your prescription glasses, your sunglasses, whatever kind of glasses you wear, he said, you spray this stuff on, you take that cloth and wipe it off, and he said, man, your glasses won't fog up again. They won't steam over, and you'll have such clarity in your lenses. And this is what he did. Now, he had one bottle that he was using, and I believe that was the good bottle. Because he cleaned both of our glasses, and buddy, I tell you what, stepping in from a heated outside to an air-conditioned room, my glasses didn't fog over. And I was quite surprised. Well, we kind of walked away from him, and then we went back a little bit later, and we ended up buying two bottles for the special low price of $20. Well, we got home, and I was so excited. I got that first bottle out, and I sprayed my glasses with it, wiped them down with a cloth that he gave us. I put them things on, and they were streaked. They were cloudy, and I thought, wait a minute, I've been duped. Well, I'll tell you what I did. I got on the phone with this fella and finally got a hold of him a few days later, and I kind of read him the riot act on the phone. I told him what I thought. I did it in a nicer way. But he eventually sent us our money back, and I sent him the bottles back. He said, if you'll send me my product, I'll send you your money. Good. But this is what I'm telling you, that to tell you this. That's the devil's tactic. He will present to you something that looks good, and what he's feeding you, that sin, oh, it looks good. It might smell good and feel good, but once you're in it, it'll take you hostage. But like I said, everybody that's in bondage, it's up here. The devil, he wants to keep you trapped in your mind as long as he can, because he wants to keep you from getting close to the Lord. The response that's required for freedom: repent of your sin, confess your need for Jesus Christ, believe the gospel, and surrender your life to his lordship. Now, does that sound pretty difficult? If you think that's difficult, let me see a show of hands. If you think that's difficult. Good, nobody's hands went up. I was going to say we'd have to have an altar call right now. but repenting of your sin. I mean, God knows what you've done. Don't hold on to it and don't hide it. There's been days that I've done something I've held on to it for months and I've refused to do it, and it just made me more miserable as time went on. And you know what it does? It steals your joy, it wrecks your health, and it separates you in your relationship from God, and you don't grow close to Him at all, and you won't receive the blessings that He's wanting to pour out upon your life. And then confessing your need for Jesus Christ and just believing, that's all it takes. And surrender. That's where a lot of people have the problem, is surrendering. Oh, well, I'll give the Lord this much of my life, but I'm going to keep this part, and that's what I'm going to deal with. It don't work that way. Jesus says, "Come unto me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." So all you have to do is surrender to His Lordship. And when you're walking and living for the Lord, I guarantee you this, even in the darkest hour, you are still growing and the Lord's hand is still upon you. I try to make this a practice. But even in the hard times, Father, thank you that this opportunity right here is going to help me to grow. Thank you, Father, that this opportunity is going to help me to help somebody else down the road. Thank you, Lord, that this opportunity is going to let me see the goodness and the mercy of your love and how you can provide for me. Let me get in this last part here, living in freedom. Standing firm in the freedom that Christ provides. That's pretty easy right there. Standing firm in the freedom. You can either stand in the sin or you can stand in His freedom. I'll tell you this, if you stand in the love and in the ways of the Lord, you're going to experience more joy than you ever had. That's truth. If you walk with the Lord, like the old song says in the garden, and He walks with me and He talks with me along life's narrow way. Because we know in those narrow times, there's going to be things we're going to go through. Sometimes we feel like we're going through them all by ourselves. And sometimes we do have to go through things by ourselves. And that's because God is wanting us to rely on Him. God is wanting us to turn to Him. Because God is saying, I'm wanting to give you this, but I can't until you surrender it all. We have to walk daily in the Holy Spirit. We have to refuse to return to old patterns of sin and sinful living. And we have to live as a witness to God's transforming grace. Now, I'm not saying that you're supposed to strive to be perfect. But if you willingly sin, you're the one that's keeping yourself away from the Lord, if you are willingly doing it. But if you give your heart and life to the Lord, and if you stand with Him, if you worship Him, if you read His Word and pray, and you go out and do what He's requiring of you to do, you're going to see a side of the Christian life that you've never seen before. I've preached funerals, and I've sat and talked with families. And I tell you, I always love to hear this. I always love to hear family members say, "Boy, our mom or our dad really loved the Lord. They never said a bad word about anybody. They never were judgmental. They weren't part of the gossip mill. They didn't lie. They never got angry about it much of nothing, but boy, they sure showed us a bunch of love, and they was hard workers, and they told people about Jesus." I love to hear things like that, because when I have a funeral message to preach, then I've got some things that I can go back and highlight about that person's life. And that's all that the Lord is wanting out of us. Christ offers freedom from the penalty of sin, the power of sin, the guilt and shame of sin, and the bondage of your past. He breaks all of it. He is the mediator. He is the one who says, this is where I draw the line. It's time for you to start living in victory. Now, the guilt and shame part of your sinful past, when the Bible says that if we are faithful and just, or if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So that means when you sin, the moment you sin, you need to stop right there and say, whoa, what did I just do? Father, I confess that. And if you confess what you've done to Him, I believe that that really helps to get, it helps you to recognize what you've done, but it also helps you to recognize, I don't want to do that again when you speak out what you've done. Father, I repent and I turn from my wicked ways and I ask you to forgive me. The moment you say them words, your sins are forgiven. The Bible says He'll cast your sins as far as the east is to the west and He will remember them no more. So, the invitation is simple. Come to Christ. The chains that you thought were impossible to break, they're no match for His saving power, because those whom Jesus sets free, they are free indeed. Now, I want to put this challenge out there to you this morning. Is there something that you've been holding on to? A grudge? Unforgiveness? Resentment? Whatever it might be? You better get it out before the Lord. You better get it taken care of right now, this morning. Because I'll tell you what, if you were to die before you walked out these doors, or if Jesus came back first, you sure don't want that sin standing in your way when you stand before God. But if you get it right with the Lord this morning, He will forgive you and He will take away. If you'll just rest in Him, He will give you the peace that you've been looking for. You won't find peace in money. You won't find peace in pills or drugs or a bottle of alcohol. You won't find peace going to a palm reader or a fortune teller. You're not going to find contentment, none of that stuff. But in Jesus, you're going to find everything that you'll ever need.